Kevin, being an Alberta guy, and you know, having played in the league, I'm guessing before you came to the, you know, to Edmonton to play, you knew at least kind of who Joey was a bit, or did you know nothing about him before you went to your first camp?
Oh no, I definitely knew. Thanks for having me on, but yeah, no, I definitely knew who Joe was, and he was actually one of the four people that I really wanted to get to know when I joined the Green and Gold. Between him and Hugh Campbell and Dwayne and Kepley, those are the four guys that I wanted to get to know, and none of the four disappointed me at all. They were all just amazing human beings. And Joe, watching him with the Oilers and what he did with Gretzky and Messier and all that, and then with how he treated us in the dressing room with the Eskimos was nothing but amazing. He was, to me, he is a true Hall of Famer, and he should be in the Hall of Fame for both CFL and NHL.
Kevin, give me, like, you knew about Joe, but did you know about the tradition in the final 2 days of training camp until you actually got to training camp? Did that catch you off guard at all?
No. What caught me off guard was the first meeting when Joe decided to teach all the Americans how to sing the national anthem. That was awesome. I had no idea about Joe's singing chops, and yeah, it was just he was a beauty. It was just too good.
Yeah, Kevin, I remember when I the first time I met him, I couldn't believe how he interacted with the players, because he, you know, the guys would give him a hard time, but he never backed down. Was it the same in the Eskimo room?
Oh, completely. Yeah, and he demanded respect, and you had to give it to him. And if you didn't, he'd put you in your place. And he was. Like, I know there's times where people wouldn't tie their mesh bags, like their laundry bags, properly, and he'd come up and give you hell if you didn't tie it properly, because he'd actually show you how to tie it, and if you didn't do it the same way he wanted to, he'd give you hell again. So, no, it was, he was awesome. There's so many stories of Joey I could go on and on, like when Chris Benoit won the title and gave Joe the belt. And so now Joey's in the room offering up the belt to anyone that wanted to wrestle him. And so people would wrestle him, and if he lost, he'd give him the belt, and he'd go, tomorrow I get the belt back. So it was, no, he was passionate about everything he did.
Did you ever take him up and wrestle him?
No, I'm not much of a wrestler, so he would have kicked my ass.
You know what? It's funny that you say that, because a lot of the players I talked to said they were stunned at how strong he was.
Oh yeah, you know, and Dwayne made him work. Like, it wasn't like Joe was doing nothing. Like, Dwayne made him work harder than anyone else, and like Dwayne would pick him up in the morning and drop him off at night, but he made him work, and Joe loved it. Like, it just, when he wasn't working with the Oilers, he was with the Eskimos, and he just absolutely loved the job that he did, and he was just always so positive. And like you guys have been saying all day, like, there's very few people in the world that can be positive all the time, and he was one of those people that were positive all the time.
What was the best wrestling match you ever saw? Because we had a bunch in the Oilers room, and I when it was wrestling day, like, I couldn't focus on practice. I couldn't wait to get in there after and set that. I'm sure you guys did the same in the dressing room. And was there a couple guys that really had epic matches with the mighty Joey Moss?
Well, the D line always liked to harass them, so it was a lot of the D line guys. The O line we were all a little bit terrified of him, because you really didn't know if he was going to break out the fish hook or not. So, yeah.
So he gave up a few pounds, a few lbs, then, against some of those defensive linemen, I'm guessing.
Oh yeah, and he liked going against the linebackers too, and the DBs. He'd show up once in a while, but it was. I think he always wanted to go against Fleming, but I don't know if Fleming ever went up against him.
Oh, the pretty boy didn't step up to the plate, eh? Oh, we'll have Flem coming on the show maybe later this week. We'll have to ask him about it. So he never, because it was funny. J.R. LaRose told me that he always wanted a shot at the title, and Joey looked at him once and said, "You're too easy," and then he never let him wrestle him.
Yeah, like, I remember just the ultimate chirp. Joe would look at Wad and go, "I want you."
So. Yeah, he was just amazing. And then did he sing the Limbamba for you guys as well?
Oh yeah, yeah. He would always sing. He'd be singing the whole time. I never realized what kind of singing chops he had. And a lot of times, like Stud was saying, like when he gets really excited, he would kind of start to stutter and stuff like that. But when he was singing, you could actually fully understand what he was trying to say. It was pretty entertaining.
Yeah, and that's so true because, you know, you'd have a conversation with him, and listen, I'm no very clear speaker either, but it was so hard to kind of understand what he was saying, and he was so passionate about whatever you're doing, like trying to pick up bits and pieces, and maybe a guy would jump over the top and help you, but like when he was into something, he wanted you to feel the exact same way, and I wish I would have picked up more at times in those conversations.
Yeah, well, nice thing about being an offensive lineman, we kind of understand mumbles. And so him and the offensive line, we could communicate quite well with each other. So yeah, it worked well.
Kevin Lefser joined us, and Kevin, you know, Joe's just his personality was always happy, and he, different guys he had different names for, right? Like certain guys he just called him Babe, and like he really enjoyed the banter. Did that maybe kind of surprise you? Because I think Joey's biggest imprint that he left on people was he really changed how people viewed those with Down syndrome.
Yeah, he was just such a positive human being, right? Like, it didn't matter win or lose. He would still treat you the same way. And in the locker room after a game, if it was a win, or locker room after the game, after a loss, he was the same guy. And on the sidelines, he was always the same guy. And he didn't really care about the wins and losses. And that's a hard thing for any of us to deal with. And somebody with special needs like that, you'd expect them to be even more up and down. And he wasn't. He was always very consistent. And it was really a truly amazing fact of what Joe could do and how he just made the rest of us go, well, really, this is just a sport, and let's just play. And so he helped a lot with that.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point, is that he was able to level you out. You know, and if things are going really well, he'd have a comment for you to kind of put you in your place. And if you were struggling, he'd find a way to kind of break it up a little bit. And I think that is something that, you know, that maybe a person who wasn't inside that room didn't really appreciate, Kevin.
Oh, completely. Yeah, and like that was, it's also something that Dwayne Mandruziak was very good at too. Like he was very level, and I really feel bad for Dwayne right now because he lost a son, and not only did he get shafted by the organization, but then a couple of weeks later he loses his son. So I feel really bad for Dwayne, and it's too bad.
Kevin Lefser joins us on Edmonton Sports Theater TSN 1260, talking about the life of Joey Moss. Now, Kev, were you up on your wrestling knowledge? Because Joe was, like, not only did he love wrestling, he knew everything about it. So were you able to talk wrestling, or was he kind of above your pay grade when it came to wrestling knowledge?
Oh, he was way above my pay grade. he tried once, and he just kind of looked at me and went, "You don't know anything, do you?" I'm like, "No." He's like, "All right, well, I'm not going to talk to you anymore about it." So no, we didn't talk wrestling. He realized that I didn't have a clue, and he didn't even want to waste his time with me.
But that's the truth, is that he was so passionate about it. And if you were on the same level, he'd just get frustrated and be like, "Oh, this guy's not worth it." And he'd just move on. But it was hard because I tried to get into it, but I'm not a real wrestling guy. And, you know, then between that and understanding always what he's saying, I think he's like, "This guy is, there's something wrong with this guy. I'm just going to move on to someone who actually is more interesting."
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. But there was guys on the team that were into wrestling, and he'd go chat with wrestling with them. But no, I wasn't. He realized that I was just a farmer, and I was below his ability.
Did you ever take him out to the farm?
No, I never did that. I probably should have. I'm not sure if Fear or Anderson brought him out here to the hunting lodge back in the day when they were coming out to. We had a place out here that Fear and Anderson would come out a lot, but I'm not sure if he ever made it out here.
Well, I'm not even sure you, in that old truck you used to drive to practice, I'm not even sure you had a seatbelt for the passenger in that one. It's pretty much just a one seatbelt truck.
My cute little Ranger, yeah. Well, yeah. it was great. It was the only vehicle that was unlocked in the whole parking lot, and no one would break into it.
Oh, I love that thing. Could always tell when Lester was there, no problem. Can you maybe talk about just kind of, you think his impact overall, and you know, you talked about how he would teach the American players to sing the national anthem the first time, and a lot of it was just like it was comedic from a lot of the players because they'd look at, you know, the newcomers and were kind of like, what is going on here, you know, and they're like, you got to sing it just like Joey. Like, did that really just kind of break the ice, and did Joe bring the team together without trying to bring the team together?
Oh, he definitely did. And like when you see somebody that's working so hard, that like he was working hard all the time, and with a positive attitude. And how can you not then try bring your best all the time? And like he was just such a positive influence. And that's why I say like he's a Hall of Famer. Like to me, he is. And what Hall of Famers to me are people that can make everyone around them better. And he made everyone around him better. And he was such a positive and great influence that really he should, and maybe he should even be in the Wrestling Hall of Fame. So maybe he should be in three different Hall of Fames. But he was just a very positive, hardworking individual. And why not? Like, why can't you follow that? So.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. He just had a way to impact you, and you know, and again, I said it earlier, but Kevin, you can comment on, like, he had no agenda. You know, he just wanted to see how you were doing and try to make you have a better day. But it was, you know, he wasn't after anything from anybody. It was such a pure place that I think we can all pull a little bit out of it and put it into our own life.
Oh, completely. Yeah.
Kev, thanks for joining us. How's, did you get the crop out? Everything good?
Yeah, I know. Got the crop off. Majority's dry. We're actually just trying to put a wing back on the anhydrous cart and start anhydrousing again here. So the weather's turned nice, so we might get another week of anhydrousing, and away we go.
And are you still pumping out the hand sanitizer?
No, that's kind of slowed right up. We're back to making booze, so I got my spice drum is going to be available here pretty quickly. We're calling that concussion, and we're still got the vodka, and we still got the apple pie flavored stuff, and no, we're going pretty good on it.
Where can I get it?
The concussion, we're not going to go through AGLC with it. We're going to kind of just self-distribute. So I can, next time I'm in the city, I'll drop some off for you.
Oof, dude, Kevin, I'm in on that.
We're getting a bunch of texts. I'm embarrassed to even ask this, but some people are wondering, what's hydrousing? You know, and I, of course, we all know what it is.
Hydrousing? So NH3. So you know when like you see people on the bench in hockey games that take those little poppers and they sniff them?
Yeah.
Or they put them in a little bottle and they sniff them, or smelling salts or whatever.
Yeah.
That's basically anhydrous ammonia. And so it's just nitrogen. And it's quickest way and cheapest way of getting nitrogen into your soil.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, see there, I didn't want to...
Yeah, Strutty's, you know, he took pre-med, yeah. Kev. He's very well-rounded.
Well, he's very well-rounded.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Well, that's why I've always wondered, like, when I see people, like, take those poppers and smell them, like, why? Like, just come and spend, like, 10 minutes with me in hydrosing, and you'll never do that again in your life. Whatever.
I've always... Thank you for saying it. I never really understood, you know, if it's good for you, or B, if it, you know, I guess it works. Like, I see everybody shake their head, but I don't know if it actually has any long-term effects.
Oh, well, if anytime that you have a cloud, you better know which way the wind's going, and you better find some water very quickly, because if you get it in your eyes, you're going to go blind very quickly. So I don't think it's overly great for you. I've never understood why people do it, but yeah, they're definitely not farm kids if they are doing it.
Kev, always good to catch up with you, man. Thanks for your time.
Sounds good. Thanks.